الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the ترجمة of الفضيل ابن عياض رحمه الله تعالى he's from the أتباع التابعين أتباع التابعين and he's from those who learned from those who learned from the companions. We have the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their students are known as the tabi'un. And the students of the tabi'in, they are called atba'a tabi'in. So he is learning from the tabi'in, and from those who learned from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This particular tarjama is different from many others, and the author and his methodology changes according to each individual, and some are longer and others are shorter. But as has preceded the author, he began rahimahullahu ta'ala with that statement of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 181. He said, Al-Fudayl, rahimahullah ta'ala, sadaqa Allah azza wa jal. Al-Fudayl, sadaqa Allah azza wa jal, fa'ajra al-hikmata ala lisanihi. That Al-Fudayl, he was truthful with Allah, and in his faith and his iman, truthful with Allah in his deen and his obedience and his hope for the hereafter and the pleasure of Allah. So therefore, because of that, Allah azza wa jal caused wisdom to flow off his tongue. So for this reason, after this, the author, he's mentioning statement after statement. And this is not the case in every tarjama, but any specifically, and this one. In every one of these biographies, there are statements of the one and who the biography is for, and the likes like this, and statements about him. But Fudayl specifically, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was known for having beautiful advice and wisdom and admonition and preaching. So we continue reading. And in our previous class, Fudayl, he mentioned, and we were reading his statement, rahimahullah, rahbatu abdi, rahbatu al-abdi min Allahi ala qadri ilmihi billah, wa zahadatuhu fi dunya ala qadri raghbatihi fi al-akhirah, wa man amila bima alima istaghna amma la ya'lam, wa man amila bima alima waffaqahu Allahu lima la ya'lam, wa man sa'a khuluquhu shana dinahu wa hasabahu wa muru'atahu. Al-Fudayl, he mentioned again, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that according to the amount of fear that one has for Allah Azza wa Jal is according to how much knowledge he has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more one knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his names and his attributes, the more one will fear him, And likewise, his according to how much he desires the hereafter will determine how much he leaves off from the affairs that are impermissible and from the affairs that will harm his hereafter. So therefore, a believer, he has to know about Allah and learn about him and his names and his attributes and his lordship and his divinity, his uluhiyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his right to be worshipped alone. And learning about his lordship specifically and his names and attributes, this is the means to increase in fear and to increase in love and to increase in hope. And when a believer, he has certainty in the command of Allah azza wa jal, and that this creation entirety, it belongs to him alone. Nothing happens except with the permission of Allah and according to that which he has decreed and that which he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a believer, he will detach his heart from the creation and he will attach his heart to the Creator alone. And this is what he's mentioning here, attaching the heart to Allah alone with hope and with fear and with trust and reliance, and leaving off the creation, along with taking the means that Allah, he has allowed. And the people of knowledge, they mention similar, and he liked the statement of Fudayl, and they say, "Man kana billahi a'raf kana minhu akhwaf," that the one who has more knowledge of Allah, he will fear him even more. And if he were to increase in learning and sincerity and truthfulness with Allah and his fear of Allah azza wa jal, he would increase from the stage of al-khawf, and he would raise to the stage of al-haya, of shyness and bashfulness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving off that which is impermissible and leaving off the haram out of fear of Allah as an obligation, a higher level A higher level than that is to leave off that which is impermissible out of shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal, and being shy from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and using His bounties and blessings in His disobedience. This is a higher and a greater status, and this comes from knowledge and from learning. So the people, they mentioned this statement, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. That the one who has more knowledge of Allah, he will fear Allah even more, and also he will seek nearness to Allah even more. And this is also one of those beautiful benefits the people of knowledge, they mention, that a person who fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, he does not flee from Him. Rather, he flees to Him. He does not flee from Him and running from Him. Rather, he seeks nearness to Him by complying to His commandments and avoiding His prohibitions and hoping for His safety and His help. And he hoping for safety from Allah and help from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this will cause a person to surrender and to worship. And this is what he's referring to. He was zahadatuhu, was zahadatuhu fi dunya ala qadri raghbatihi fil akhirah. And the fact that he will have a zuhd. A zuhd, in general, it means to fulfill the rights of Allah. To fulfill the obligations that Allah has placed upon a person. The one who fulfills the obligations and avoids the prohibitions, he's considered zahid, and if it dunya. The one who uses this life to achieve the hereafter, this is the one who has abstained from this worldly life. As for those who have been tried by this life, and they show preference to this world, and they sell their religion for the dunya, waliyadu billah, then these are the losers. But those who use this life, and that which is permissible in this life, and the provision in this life to get to their goal and their home in the hereafter, then these there are the successful. And this is the one who is considered zahid, and the one who fulfills the rights of Allah and his obligations and avoids the prohibitions. And if a person increases in that, in his desire for the hereafter, that he will even leave off a portion of that which is halal and permissible for him, yani in this manner. And this is what he's referring to, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In the end of this narration, he said, "Man sa'a khuluquhu shana dinahu wa hasabahu wa muru'atuhu." And the one who has foul manners, then he has defamed his religion and his lineage, and likewise his manhood and his honor. An indication to the great status of manners in al-Islam, and that a person who has the correct creed and correct belief, then this will be displayed in his conduct and in his deen, and in his manhood, and his honor and reputation. And a sign that a person, he has deficiency in his deen, is that he is known for foul and lowly manners, in his conduct, and his speech, and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he referred to these affairs, and he mentioned narrations about this. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That the believers, those who have the most complete faith, they are the ones who have the best manners. The best manners. The proper and upright noble manners of al-Islam. And that which is displayed in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We continue reading. The author, he mentioned that al-Fudayl, he said, أكذب الناس الأعيد في ذنبه. أكذب الناس الأعيد في ذنبه. The one who is the greatest liar from the people is the one who returns to his sin. وجهر الناس المدل بحسناته. And the most ignorant of the people is the one who leads others to find out about his good deeds. وعلم الناس بالله أخوفهم منهم. أخوفهم منه. And that the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to Allah is the one who fears him the most. لن يكمل عبد حتى يؤثر دينه على شهوته. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that a man, a slave, any a person, he will never be complete until he shows preference to his religion over his desires. Until he shows preference to his religion over his lusts. وَلَنْ يَهْلِكَ عَبْدٌ حَتَّى يُؤْثِرَ شَهْوَتَهُ عَلَى دِينِهِ. And a slave, he will never be destroyed until he shows preference to his lusts over his religion. Over his religion. An indication that a person's deen is priority. A person, his religion is priority. And if a person is going to sacrifice or take risks with anything, it should not be with his religion. whether his religion and his deen and his taqwa and his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this takes priority over everything, over the love of one's spouse and one's child and one's family, and over the love of all of mankind and everything in this life. A believer, he prefers the hereafter, and he prefers that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. So therefore, this requires for one to learn again and to strive to apply the knowledge that one has. So he mentioned here, again, from the wisdom and the beautiful statements of Al-Fudayl rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, تَارُكُ الْعَمَلِ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّاسِ رِيَاءَ وَالْعَمَلُ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّاسِ شِرْكَ وَالْإِخْلَاصُ أَنْ يُعَافِيَكَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. So Al-Fudayl, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, to leave off actions because of the people is showing off. To leave off actions because of the people is showing off. And some people, they might think, and if they want to do some actions of goodness and they want to do some non-obligatory actions of worship, for example, and they have a friend with them, and then they think about that, and then they'll say, you know, I'm not going to pray this sunnah, or I'm not going to pray this night prayer, because maybe the people will think this about me or that about me, that I'm good and the likes like this, and he will leave it, so that the people will not know about his actions. So in reality, he's leaving it for the people. He's leaving it for the people. He's saying, this is showing off. This is showing off. So a believer, if he has good or he intends to do good, he will not look at the people. He will perform it and he will go. And he'll perform it and he will go. With the non-obligatory actions of worship, if the people see him or don't see him, it's the same for him. He does it for the sake of Allah. He doesn't turn his heart and look at the people and what they say about him, whether they're going to praise him and think that he's good and he does this every day, or that they're going to blame him and think that he does not even worship Allah Azza wa Jal, with the non-obligatory actions. He will not attach his heart in this manner. Rather, he will continue to worship Allah and he will do what he does for the sake of Allah, and he will leave these whispers. He will leave these whispers alone. He says, and to do actions for the sake of the people, this is shirk. This is shirk. And to do the action for the sake of the people, this is shirk. But here we see that he's mentioning two diseases. And to leave off actions for the sake of the people and to do actions for the sake of the people. All of this is a type of shirk and showing off. But he mentioned a cure, rahimahullah ta'ala, with his wisdom. And he says, what ikhlas and sincerity and purity of intention, and yu'afiyaka Allah, and yu'afiyaka Allahu anhuma. And sincerity, in this affair, is that Allah, he will save you from this. Is that Allah, he will save you from this. So this is true sincerity and ikhlas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about his chosen slaves and servants, that shaitan will have no path to them. And shaitan will have no way to them. And whenever he referred to them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one verse in his book, he mentioned, illa ibadika al-mukhlasin. Al-mukhlasin. And those whom Allah had given them ikhlas. And this is the point of this narration here, that to be safe from shirk, and to be safe from riya, and to be safe from every foul way, this is in the hands of Allah. And Allah, he is the one that will save someone from that. And is Allah, he is the one who provides someone with ikhlas and sincerity. So a believer, he will seek refuge with Allah from these affairs, and he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him sincere. And he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him to worship him in a good manner. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to close every prayer. He used to close every prayer asking Allah azza wa jal to help him, to remember him and to thank him and to worship him in the best manner. Who knows the supplication? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. So therefore, if a believer, he wants to be sincere and he wants to worship Allah in the best manner, he has to ask Allah for that. And this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the wisdom of Al-Fudayl, he mentioned here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wallahi, he says, wallahi, ma yihillu laka an tu'dhiya kalban. ولا خنزيرا بغير حق فكيف تؤذي مسلما فكيف تؤذي مسلما. He said, I swear by Allah, it's not allowed for you, it's not halal for you, it's not permissible for you to harm a dog nor a pig without right. So how could you dare harm a Muslim? How could you dare harm a Muslim? And a believer, he should recognize these affairs. Even the animals, they have rights on the people. Even the animals, with regards to the animals, there's legislation. There's legislation. There's a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inna shat adbahuha wa arhamuha. He said, O Messenger of Allah, verily the shat, the sheep, I slaughter it, but I show mercy to it at the same time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا رَحِمْتَهَا رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ. That if you show mercy to the shat, to the sheep, when you slaughter it, then verily Allah, He will show you mercy. He will show you mercy. So if this is the case with the animals, then how about the believers? How about the believers? This reminds me of a narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. One time he is in the Kaaba and he's making tawaf and he's talking to himself but out loud so the people hear. And he swore by Allah Azza wa Jal to the black stone that the black stone is sacred with Allah and has a great hurmah and status with Allah. And he said, but I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that the honor and the reputation of a Muslim is greater than the sacredness of that stone. Is greater with Allah than the sacredness of that stone. And that black stone no doubt is sacred and is from the rights of the deen. But even greater and more sacred with Allah Azza wa Jal is the honor and reputation of a Muslim. Is the honor and the reputation of a Muslim. A believer, he should keep this in mind. وَاللَّهِ مَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ أَنْ تُؤْذِيَ كَلْبًا وَلَا خِنْزِيرًا بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ فَكَيْفَ تُؤْذِي مُسْلِمًا فَكَيْفَ تُؤْذِي مُسْلِمًا. Wallahi, it's not allowed for you to harm a dog nor a pig without rights. So how can you harm a Muslim? How could you harm a Muslim? And even more, how could you harm a Muslim that's your mother, or a Muslim that's your father, or a Muslim that's your brother and your sister, yani intentionally harming them? And from the worst harm that can be done is the harm that is done with the tongue. So a believer, he would take these affairs into consideration, yani, and think about this. And from the righteousness and the pious and the good way, is a believer, he will not harm anybody, not with his hand and not with his tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A real Muslim is the one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Safe from his tongue and his hand. Al-Fudayl, he says, Rahimahullah, La yakunu al-abdu min al-muttaqina hatta ya'manahu aduuhu. He mentioned, Rahimahullah ta'ala, that a person will not be from the righteous, the muttaqeen, the people of at-taqwa truly, until his enemy is safe from him. Until his enemy is safe from him. What does that mean? That he will not violate him. He will not violate his rights. That even the enemy, if a believer, he made a contract with him, he will not violate the contract. And he will not violate that contract. He will not betray that contract. If they have an agreement of truce, even if they're enemies, but they have an agreement of truce and peace between the two. And they have signed contracts, for example, those who come into the lands of the disbelievers, into the lands of the Christians, and they sign a contract to enter, and they take visas and a license like this, a contract of peace, and that they will abide by the laws of the land, and they will not harm anybody, and a license like this, then a true believer who is righteous and pious and fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will not violate that contract. He will not violate that contract nor betray that. It's not allowed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned from the likes of these affairs. And he mentioned that man qatala muahidan lam yarah rahat al-jannah. That the one who kills somebody who has a contract with a believer, then he will not smell the scent of paradise. So this is an amazing affair. And this is another amazing statement. He mentioned, la yakunu al-abdu min al-muttaqina hatta ya'manahu aduuhu. Until his enemy is safe from him, and he's safe from betrayal. Safe from betrayal. Safe from betrayal. After this, likewise, yani from the benefits of the statements of Fulayl, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, بِقَدْرِ مَا يَسْكُرُ الذَّنْبُ عِنْدَكَ يَعْظُمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَبِقَدْرِ مَا يَعْظُمُ عِنْدَكَ يَسْكُرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That according to how light or small the sin seems to you, this is how great it is with Allah. And according to how small one considers the sin, this will determine how great it is with Allah. And likewise, according to how great the sin seems to you, or how great you consider the sin to be, this will determine how small it is with Allah. So therefore, a believer, he will not look at the size of the sin, but he will look at the greatness and the bounty and the blessing of the one who he has disobeyed. And that all of the blessings, they're from Allah. And a believer, he's not able to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal except with the blessings of Allah. He's not able to disobey Allah except with the blessings of Allah. If he's going to disobey Allah by looking at something haram, this is from the eyesight, and that's from the greatest of blessings of Allah. And if he's going to disobey Allah from listening to the haram, this is with the ears, and this is from the greatest of blessings of Allah. And if he's going to think and reflect, likewise, this is from using the mind and the heart. Or if he's going to use his intellect to cheat and to deceive and to plot and to plan against the people, all of this is sin and transgression. And this is a blessing from Allah that he's able to think and he's able to reflect. If he uses his hand, if he uses his feet, and all of these are from the bounties of Allah. If he uses his wealth, if he uses his money, all of this is from the blessings of Allah. How could a believer take these blessings that Allah has provided for him and then use them in his disobedience? This is not from the way of the one who is good. This is not the way of the one who is good. So he's saying here, yani, do not look at the size of the sin, but look at the one who you're sinning against. And if you consider the sin to be small, then it's great with Allah Azza wa Jal, because of having little concern and care for his commandments and prohibitions. But as for the one who considers the sin great, even if it's small, and the fact that he disobeyed his Lord, then this one, inshallah, he has a place with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah will pardon him and forgive him, even if his sins were many. The author, he mentioned about Al-Fudayl, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَكَانَ صَحِيحَ الْحَدِيثِ صَدُوقَ اللِّسَانِ شَدِيدَ الْحَيْبَةِ لِلْحَدِيثِ إِذَا حَدَّثَ وَكَانَ يَثْقُلُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِيثُ جِدًّا رُبَّمَا قَالَ لِي لَوْ أَنَّكَ طَلَبْتَ مِنِّي الدَّنَانِيرَ كَانَ أَيْسَرَ عَلَيَّ مِنَ أَنْ تَطْلُبَ مِنِّي الْحَدِيثَ. يعني the author is mentioning that, and he continued the narration of Ibrahim ibn Ash'ath. Yani that he was, his narrations, they're correct, sahih al-hadith. Yani whenever he narrated the narrations that he narrated, they're correct and good. And his tongue was saduq, and he known for being truthful. That whenever he spoke with the truth that he's known for, a true tongue. And he had a great reverence and honor and respect for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he narrated. And it would be heavy for him. It would be heavy for him to narrate. And this is mentioned from a number of the Salaf, that they would find it heavy to narrate the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even it's been narrated from the likes of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he would not narrate on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except after he mentioned the narration, and he would say, "Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," or as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this manner, yani meaning that yani to ascribe something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was great in their eyes. They did not take this as something lightly. And this is a lesson that we should learn in these days. Whenever knowledge is spread, and it's so easy, people are spreading narrations without verifying them or checking them. And many of the people of falsehood, and even the disbelievers, they have plots to spread the false narrations and the lies that have been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the most important affairs with regards to knowledge is verifying and taking verification of the narration, and likewise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise of the people in general. The knowledge that comes to a person, he will not believe that immediately whenever he first reads that. If it's about the people, rather he will verify. And this is from the methodology of the people of hadith. Ibrahim ibn Ash'ath, he mentioned, he says, and if I came to him and I asked him, he said the narrating hadith was heavy for him. He said that he would tell me sometimes that if you ask me for dananir, it will be easier for me than for you to ask me to give you hadith. And if you ask me for money, dananir, this is gold. And if, for example, nowadays dollars, if you ask for some dollars, it would be easy for me to give you dollars than for me to just narrate to you like this, these narrations. He said, so he told him, he said, لو حدثتني بحديث فوائد ليست عندي كان أحب إلي من أن تهب لي عدد الدنانير. He said, but if you were just to only narrate me some narrations that I haven't heard yet, or I do not have the chain for, then this is more beloved to me than you to give me as a gift, any the number of those narrations in gold coins. At this time, Al-Fudayl, he says to him, إِنَّكَ مَفْنُونَ إِنَّكَ مَفْتُونَ. He said, you're crazy. He said, you're crazy. And meaning that he's telling him to narrate to him. He's saying, it's easier for me to give you money than it is to give you these narrations. This is heavy on my heart. And it's heavy on my heart. And he said, what is more beloved for me to learn narrations from you than to have the gold. And I would pay for it with my wealth. So Al-Fudayl, he says, أَنْتَ مَفْتُونَ. And you're crazy. You have been tried. He said, "Amma wallahi law amilta bima sami'ta lakana laka fi dhalika shughlun amma lam tasma'." He said, "I swear by Allah that if you had applied that which you have heard already, then this would suffice you from that which you did not hear yet." And so again, they would discipline their students. And if they want to learn and they're diligent to learn, but if they see a deficiency in their action, they would check them with that. They would say, before you ask for more narrations to be a proof against you, you should apply the narrations that you have learned thus far. You should apply the knowledge that you have learned thus far. He says, "Sami'tu Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Fudail." He mentions one of his sheikhs. His name is Al-A'mash. Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He died in 148. And he's from the Tabi'een. He says that he told me, and he, in reference to this affair, إِذَا كَانَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ طَعَامٌ تَأْكُلُهُ فَتَأْخُذُ اللُّقْمَةَ فَتَرْمِي بِهَا خَلْفَ ظَهْرِكَ مَتَى تَشْبَعُ. He said that one of my teachers told me, Sulaiman ibn Mihran, about this affair. He said, if you have some food in front of you that you're about to eat, and you take a piece of that and throw it behind your back, when are you going to get full? When are you going to get full? And he meaning the same thing with knowledge. You're going to keep taking the knowledge and throwing it behind your back and not benefiting from it. When are you going to benefit from the knowledge that you have? Instead of taking knowledge and taking knowledge and taking knowledge and learning an issue and learning an affair in the religion and throwing it behind the back and never applying it. La, rather you take it and you benefit. You learn it little by little. And as you learn, you apply what you learn immediately. And in this manner, the knowledge will become firm and the knowledge will become great and the knowledge will be beneficial by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Fudail, he mentioned, and from his wisdom likewise, that man ahabba an yuthkara lam yuthkar, wa man kariha an yuthkar dhukira. And from his wisdom, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that the one who loves to be mentioned, and the one who loves to be known, he will not be mentioned. The one who desires this, he will not be mentioned. And as for the one who dislikes to be mentioned, then he is the one who will be mentioned. And the affair is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. The affair is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-khawfu afdalu min al-raja, madam al-rajulu sahiha. Fa'idha nazala bihi al-maut, fa'l-raja'u afdal. Fa'l-raja'u afdal. Al-Fudail, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that to fear Allah, to fear Allah is better than hope. It's better than hope so long as a person is healthy and strong. As for if death befalls him, at this time, having hope takes precedence and is better. Takes precedence and is better. Yani the issue of fear and hope, this is yani the wings of a believer, the people of knowledge, they mention that a believer, he's traversing in this life on the straight path, and the way that he continues to move is that he traverses with these wings here. And they've made the example like it's a bird, and at the head is love, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the wings that he's traversing with is fear and hope. And if a person, he was to put too much fear forward, then he will be misled and misguided and fall into the path of the Khawarij. And if he were to put too much hope and leave off the fear, then he would also be misguided and deviate, and he would fall into the path of the Murji'ah. But so long as he's balanced in his fear and his hope of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will be flying straight and traversing straight on the straight path. And this is the manner. And if the hope will carry a person to strive to do more, and the fear will push a person and keep him from falling off the straight path into that which is haram. So the origin is that they will be balanced. But Al-Fudail, he's mentioning here that so long as a person is healthy and strong, he should put forward just a little bit the khawf, the fear, a little bit more than the hope, in order to keep him going and to keep him safe from falling into sin and transgression. As for at the time whenever sickness befalls a person or he is approaching death, at this time there's nothing and there's no time for action. So all he will do is put his hope and faith in Allah Azza wa Jal and trust that Allah will forgive him and pardon him and have great hope at this time, because he's not able to act. He's not able to act. Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned, he says, Qultu, and this is from his methodology. Many times he'll comment, he'll say, Qultu, I say, وَذَلِكَ لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْسِنُ ظَنَّ بِاللَّهِ. And he basing the statement of Al-Fudail, he said, this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, not one of you should die except that he is having a good thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning high hopes in the mercy and in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a number of narrations and benefits in this tarjama and biography of Al-Fudail And we continue in the next class, and suffice with that this evening. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.